Once you have your ministry team up and running, things are going to run smoothly for a while. Everyone's going to be excited about the new ministry, sharing and promoting the events to their friends and families. Over time, the newness is going to wear off, and there will be a shift in the ministry. It may come in the realization by a team member that this ministry really isn't for them. Or it may show up when you begin to make some needed changes in the ministry. If we're prepared for these shifts, it's going to make navigating those waters a lot easier on everyone. In previous segments of this course, we talked about the different ways that we can shift the ministry into a new direction. For example, you may find it's time to revisit your mission statement. You can slowly introduce new programs and events into the calendar, and you can begin slowly transitioning programs that exist into the new vision of the ministry. If you're constantly evaluating your programs and events and course correcting, these shifts and changes in the ministry will be the easiest to deal with, and almost seamless. The greatest shifts in the ministry are going to come as leadership changes, and there's several reasons why this can happen. First, we work really hard to develop a team and put all the effort into building relationships with them. This creates loyalty, which is a great thing, but it also makes leaving a ministry hard on everyone. When a person feels called to leave, we, the team, may try to talk them out of it. In most cases, it's because we enjoyed working with them. It can also be because we're selfish. They did such a good job, and we don't believe that anyone else can do it as well. This can be even more difficult if the person is not leaving voluntarily, but has been asked to step down. See, loyalty can taint our objective view over decisions like this, and it can create chaos within the team. Second, if the leader who is stepping down, well, we might have some strong opinions about who has been stepping up in their place. This is especially true if that person wasn't even on the women's ministry team to begin with. We often expect that our new leaders are going to come from within, and that's not always possible. And often, it can be a huge blessing as they bring new ideas and perspectives with them. If there were problems on the team or within the women's ministry, it was constantly derailing from the vision of the church, the staff might then appoint someone that they feel can better manage the ministry. And this can cause hurt feelings. And this will manifest itself in the way that the team operates. The third, and in my opinion, the greatest reason leadership change is difficult, is based on our own lack of preparation. See, a ministry should have a system in place to purposefully identify potential new leaders and develop their leadership skills. I've witnessed this lack of preparation in large corporations and small ministries alike. If you fail to identify and develop those new leaders, your organization is going to dry up, as the leaders then are called away for one reason or another. It might be a move across country, or an emergency in their family or personal life requires their full attention and they need a break. God may be calling them into a new ministry. Their work schedule may change, or they might just be burnt out. Therefore, it's really imperative that we have anticipated these changes, and we do so from the beginning. If we're training our replacements, then there's never a reason that we can't take a temporary leave of absence or a permanent exit from the ministry. When I was working in the corporate world, I was always training someone to take over my job. See, I didn't want to go on vacation and return to find that all my work had gone unfinished. Then I'd only have to do not just my current tasks, but then I'd also have to catch up on everything that was left undone. But if I could find someone and train them as a replacement, then when I returned, I would have very little to catch up on, if anything at all. And the company was better for it. I was better for it, and so was the person I trained. As I continued to promote from one department up to the next, the management never had to worry about the department I left because I had already trained the person to take over my job. All the management had to do was offer them the position. Every exit came with a smooth transition. This is how it should be in ministry service as well. We need to anticipate that at some point we're going to be called away from service, even if it's just temporarily. And when we have someone already in place that can fill that spot in our absence, it benefits everyone, the person, the team, and the ministry as a whole. It's a seamless shift from one leader to another that has been prepared for and introduced over time. When we're prepared for a leadership shift, we're prepared to sustain the ministry into the future with or without us. But when you are serving on a team with many women, how do you know who that right person is? How do you identify a new leader? And what if they're uncertain, unwilling, or they don't feel that they're equipped to do the job? There will be leaders who naturally stand out. You can recognize them by their devotion to the ministry from the start. This is the person who never misses a meeting. There's never been a need to remind her of the tasks that were assigned to her. She gets her assignments done early, and she volunteers to help others with her leftover time. She's the one who calls you and sends you emails or stops you after Sunday services with a great idea. She's reading women's ministry books, researching what other ministries are doing, and has been collecting a folder of ministry ideas. She talks with other women's ministry leaders and attends conferences, and she's always sharing her notes with you. She contributes at meetings regularly, she has a great relationship with the other team members, and usually she has a good rapport with the staff. When a person gives of themselves to a ministry in such a dedicated way, we have to recognize them for it. We do so in order to make them aware that we appreciate them as part of our team. This is a person that you can have a brief conversation with, sharing your intention of training them to be your replacement should the need arise. You should share this with the church staff so that they are aware, and you may wish to share it with the team. It sets an example for each member of the team to also be thinking about their eventual replacement. If they're leading a committee, chances are the replacement for their position is already there, just waiting to be acknowledged and discipled into this special leadership role. Your team members will recognize their potential leaders in the same way you recognized each of them for the team to begin with. It's vital that we recognize people as future leaders and get right onto the task of training them. If we wait too long, then we may lose them. This is probably more common amongst women, to be truthful, but it's not exclusive. See, a man may leave a ministry if he's feeling underutilized or underappreciated, but he'll often just move himself over to another ministry where he feels he's a better fit. He doesn't take it personally. But women, we tend to react quite differently. Women are more apt to take it personally, and this won't just affect her serving on this ministry team, but possibly others. Now, I'm not suggesting as leaders that we stroke the egos of the women on our team because we fear losing them or hurting their feelings or their future service in ministry. I am suggesting that when we do recognize a clear leader, that we don't allow it to go unnoticed. Instead, we embrace it and we develop it into something greater. Now, be forewarned, you will occasionally come across the retired leader who may have already put in many years of leading ministry. And while they've retired from their position, their leadership skills simply just stand out. So when you ask if they would be interested in stepping into that greater leadership position, they'll turn you down. Clear leaders are easy to identify, but they're not always willing to step up to the leader role. Whether they don't want to commit to leading an entire ministry, or due to just circumstances in their lives they can't do it now, you may have to end up searching a bit harder for those leaders to develop. So how do you find the hidden leaders in your team? Well, remember that list I gave a few minutes ago? The one that points you right towards that natural leader? Start there. You'll have women in your team or within the church that exemplify some of those characteristics, but not all of them. So ask yourself, which are the most important for you in regards to leading the ministry? Who on the team is already inclined towards those most important skills? Perhaps she's the woman on the team who always gets her tasks done, but it's at the last minute. It could be the woman that hasn't made every meeting, but she's never missed a meeting where she had an assignment or something to present. Maybe she doesn't speak up at every meeting, but when she does, everyone stops to listen. She's the woman who seems like she might be the right person, but has some rough edges that might need to be smoothed out. As leaders, we can start steering her in the right direction. So, before you come to her with the intentions of training her for leadership, you can begin to test the waters. Give her a specific job that requires a little more of her. Or start giving her deadlines when she volunteers for tasks. If you're going to be out of town during your normal meeting week, ask her to lead the meeting in your place instead of rescheduling it. It won't take long for you to recognize if she's going to be up to this task or not. She's either going to excel in these opportunities, or despite your best efforts to steer her in the right direction, it will be evident that she's just not cut out for leadership at this time. And keep in mind, even if she's not the right person at this exact moment, it doesn't mean that she's not going to grow into it with time and maturity. The worst case scenario will be that you might have to look for your replacement outside of the women's ministry team itself. Perhaps no one fits, or they just don't have interest in leading the ministry. They like helping. And it does happen. At that point, you can begin to look to the church for a suitable candidate. Ask the staff for suggestions if you need to. She could be sitting there every Sunday, a woman who just joined the church with a history of women's ministry service. Or she might be a woman who's currently serving in one ministry, but she's on her way out. I transitioned into our women's ministry at our church because I was leaving the MOS leadership team. I no longer had a preschooler, and I wasn't really sure where I was going next. And it just so happened that our women's ministry leader was moving, and she approached me with stepping into the team in her place. The most difficult part of looking outside of the team comes from your lack of relationship with these potential leaders. See, the women who are on the team, you know them. You've worked with them for long enough to know their character, their passion for women's ministry, and that they have an understanding of the vision of the ministry of the church overall. When you're looking into the church body, you're looking at a group of women who you may not really know that well. So this is why it's good to involve the church staff at this point, as they can help guide you during this process. Your pastor may make some recommendations, or he may decline some of the suggestions that you come up with. This search process may also take a little more time than you anticipated. You will probably keep an eye on this person for a few weeks or even months, making a point to engage her and to get to know her better, at which point you could then invite her to join the women's ministry team. This would give you an opportunity to see how well she relates to the other women on the team and evaluate her leadership potential. Having her join the team first will also make it easier on the team to accept her as their future leader. When looking for future leaders, there are some characteristics that are helpful in narrowing down those candidates. Some obvious ones include being a member of the church and having a relationship with Christ. There are others you may be able to witness, or you'll hear people say of her. She may have volunteered for VBS that year and everyone spoke highly of her. One Sunday, you may have passed by her praying with another woman as you left the sanctuary. A friend of yours may be in a small group with her and comment about her knowledge of the scriptures. Then, after you've invited her to serve on the women's ministry team, you can begin filling in those blanks. Is she dependable? Does she get her tasks done on time? Does she get along well with the other women's ministry team members? Is she an outside-of-the-box thinker? Do her eyes light up when she talks about serving women? Is she a regular contributor to the conversation? Over time, you will begin to learn more about her, and through that knowledge, you can determine if she is the right person. Of course, we shouldn't be doing any of this process without prayer. God will show you the right person. You just have to ask. He won't be offended if you test it out first, because remember, God wants us to discern truth. But don't allow your personal opinions of ministry to cloud that judgment. God might be calling her into leadership because she's not like you. There may come a point where God is ready to move you on, and the person he needs to come behind you will have something completely different to offer to the ministry. You have to remember that we're not trying to mold our future leaders into copies of ourselves, but to identify them, equip them to lead in the way that God would have them do so. When you have found that potential leader, bring her alongside you as you work through the ministry needs. Sit with her for 30 minutes before a meeting or after and talk about what's happening and why. Let her ask questions and make suggestions. When working on larger projects like a retreat, walk her through the process and assign her tasks that you would normally handle yourself. When you delegate to her, you're also teaching her how to delegate. You're setting the example on how to lead. Then, when you feel the time is right, start letting her take the lead or fill in for you occasionally. This will begin to build her confidence in herself and the team's confidence in her. Your team will be better prepared for the day that she may replace you because they'll become accustomed to her leadership style and personality. Now, there are a lot of great resources available for training leaders, and there may be some in your community, like free workshops by the local Chamber of Commerce on communication skills or publicity. And there's other resources that you can purchase from Christian bookstores, books on leadership development, ministry structure, communication strategies, fundraising. Any additional training and education will help sustain the ministry by bringing new ideas in. And a sustained ministry needs to not only have prepared leaders, but an influx of new ideas for events and programs and fresh eyes that can bring Christ back into the focus of the ministry. As we bring in and prepare new leaders, they naturally bring new perspectives, opinions, suggestions, and direction with them. training events, and resources will also provide your team members an opportunity to invite their potential replacements into the fold of the ministry. The whole team will get an opportunity to know these potential leaders better over time. The best benefit of this process is that you are finding and building additional leaders. You have created a pool of potential team members to choose from whenever the ministry has a team position that's opening up. If the ministry grows larger, you might need these women to fulfill a call. It's a process that should never stop. As new women step into the team, then they need to begin looking for and training their replacements too.